Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The text, while looking at the Gospel reading, also putting it in context of our Hebrews reading, where it says, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands, angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the new covenant that Christ has given to us. As we hear your word on this Sabbath day, may it strengthen our faith to live under that covenant. So bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, so they may be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Yes, today Jesus attempts a miracle healing, but that healing wasn't successful. Now you may be surprised to hear that, because we did hear that the woman who was bent over for 18 years was made straight again. But as we look closer at the reading, I think we start to see that she was not the intended target of his healing. The woman had been suffering for 18 long years. She hadn't asked for healing, but Jesus calls her over. Luke doesn't even call it a healing, but a release from the spirit. The true healing that Jesus seems to be initiating is with the synagogue leader. He has been bound not by a physical but a spiritual sickness. The synagogue leader was teaching what he had learnt in his early days, that the Sabbath law, there was to be no work done. There are 6 days to do work. Come on one of those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. He seemed to lack compassion. There are 6 days that this woman could have been healed, and Jesus could have easily have healed her the prior day or the day after. But he chose the Sabbath and the synagogue in order to reveal that the synagogue leader had forgotten his duty of care. Jesus' healing revealed the true state of the synagogue leader's heart. He didn't rejoice that the woman was healed. Instead, he referred to the letter of the law, which to him took precedence over the well-being of a fellow human being. And so this message is a challenge to us to see if we too may have neglected to care for those among us, because we have been sidetracked by other things. Every Sunday we gather here, and all sorts of burdens are brought into our church gathering. Some, like the bent over woman, are very obvious when we look at people and the healing they need. But others have a pain that is buried deep down that we may not see. And because of our busyness, we don't take time to find out about that person. The difference between the bent over woman and the leader of the synagogue was that the woman went home healed, while the indication is that the synagogue leader did not. It's a very similar story to the Pharisee and the tax collector. Remember, the Pharisee stood there before God and he proclaimed all his obedience, and yet we are told he went away not right before God. Whereas the sinner, with all his disobedience, went away right before God. It was the heart that God was looking at. The healing was a problem for the synagogue ruler because of when it happened. He would have been quite happy if she had come back tomorrow and be healed. Just wait a little longer. I mean, you've been waiting 18 years. What is one more day? Well, for Jesus, it is one day too long. both for the woman and for the synagogue ruler. The healing needs to happen for both of them immediately. And so we see a tension between two Jewish leaders, Jesus and the synagogue ruler, who are both struggling with each other regarding what it means to be faithful to God. Is it obedience to the law, or is it showing compassion to a person in need? Both Jesus and the synagogue leader believe they are keeping the true meaning of the Sabbath. Jesus didn't break the Sabbath. That's not what Jesus said he did. But he was pointing out the true meaning of the Sabbath. And so this story portrays Jesus as still keeping the Sabbath because he sees it differently. He sees that the Sabbath is about bringing good to people who are hurting. Jesus has a different sense of timing than the religious leader. He didn't want the woman to be in pain. He just didn't want her healed on the Sabbath. The time for God's grace and healing, however, is now, not later. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we need to care for those in need. Now, often when we think of Pharisees and other religious leaders, we often think of them in negative terms. We think of them as judgmental, closed-minded, harsh, moralistic, religious fanatics. And yet if we were asked the public today what their perception is of Christians, we're probably going to get the same attitude. The religious leaders were trying to be faithful to God and the commandments. That was their intention. Just as it is ours. We want to love God. We want to show our dedication to God. But somehow the people thought that the way to please God was by religious obedience, by their worship, impressive building, long prayers, fasting, focusing on the letter of the law. But all this, God kept reminding them, it is the heart that he seeks. A broken and contrite heart is what pleases the Lord. So often, we see that neglected as we focus on the Old Covenant. That's the teaching behind the Good Samaritan. Remember, there we had a priest and a Levite, both religious leaders who ignored the needs of a hurt brother. And they ignored his hurt because of their religious duty. They wanted to remain ritually clean so that they could attend to the temple duties. But what would be more important to God? To help that person half dead or to perform their ritual duties before God? Religiously, they were right. But in their love of neighbor, so wrong. These religious leaders focused on God and how they might serve God better, but they could not see the suffering in their own community. They didn't get it right, but they were trying. And they sound a lot like us. We want to help people, but so often in our trying to do the right thing, we hurt people. We hurt their feelings. Do we let our devotion and focus on doing the right thing exclude people at times? As we read the Old Testament, we see a God who was very demanding. Strict obedience to the law of Moses was demanded. Threats of being put to death for disobedience. What changed? What changed was that God sent his son, Jesus, to fulfill the law of God. We can't do it. The law requires perfect obedience. We can't do that. And so God sent Christ to fulfill that law that we couldn't. And he instituted a new covenant of grace, that what we could not fulfill was forgiven. The writer to the Hebrews compares the two covenants. The old covenant was one of fear, a mountain that couldn't be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and storms and the sound of a trumpet, a voice whose words made the hearers beg not to speak to them. And this is God that they could hear. If an animal touched the mountain, it was to be stoned to death. And in fact, even Moses said, "I tremble with fear." That's the old covenant. But with Jesus, there is a new covenant brought in. A new mountain. Mount Zion. The city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem with innumerable angels gathering together. So which covenant are we living under? It's very easy to slip back into the old covenant because somehow we are comforted by law. But living under that old covenant, we put the law first and people second. It doesn't mean that the law is not important, but Jesus interpreted what the true meaning of the law is when he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." You cannot just keep half of it. We love God and we love our neighbor. And so the religious leader, in his eagerness to show his love for God, like the priest and the Levite, neglected to love their neighbor. The religious leader was called a hypocrite because he actually allowed himself and others to untie their cattle and lead them to water. And yet, they showed no compassion to a fellow human being created in God's image. Now, do we sometimes care more about things in the church and ignore the needs of fellow human beings? As Christians, we have been set a task to value all human life, because we know that all human life is created in the image of God. The world doesn't see it that way. They see human life as dispensable. When we begin with the foundation that all life is created in God's image, then everything we do will take that into consideration. Whether it's our worship, whether it's our work, whether it's our sport or our special interests or the things that we stand up for, caring for human life must guide our values and decisions. But it's so easy to slip back and let our political agenda, our theological agenda, our personal agenda to guide our values and decisions. And that doesn't always take into account human life. It comes so natural when we see what happened this week with the squatters in those houses in Collingwood, telling them to leave and go and join the queue waiting for public housing, without thinking, what can we do for them? Or the constant call we hear about the so-called illegal immigrants saying, "Go back and join the queue and wait your turn," rather than thinking, what is happening to them in detention while they wait? It is very easy to devalue human life. Issues like these and others reveal the true state of our heart when we treat certain human beings with less value. It's so easy to put rules first and people second. And that's where the synagogue leader got it wrong. He was guided by his zeal for the commandments of God, and he didn't consider God's call to love your neighbour in need. There are times when our Christian beliefs will be challenged, when we are wondering what is the right decision to make, what is the right point of view to have. But when we act out of love for God and our neighbour, like Jesus did, then firstly we allow God's heart to guide us. But secondly, we allow God's grace to forgive us when there are those times when we truly believe that this law is unjust and we must not follow it for the sake of a fellow human being. Jesus saw the Sabbath day as a day for God to free us from the weight of the world, rather than a day when we simply add to the burden of other people. And so this lesson invites us to ponder ways in which our own rules, customs, traditions, habits become bad news for the oppressed, that add to their burdens rather than release them. As Jesus once said, the Sabbath was made for human beings, not the other way around. Human beings were not made for the Sabbath. So friends, allow the Sabbath to free you, but more importantly, use the Sabbath to free others. May the peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding keep your hearts and minds forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.